Well, thank you, Alex, I think, for that introduction. Committee members, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having me today. If I can get the audio-visual worked out, we did have a few problems with it over morning tea. I have a couple of slides to support this presentation. I suspected when I put this together that I wouldn't be the only person today to invoke the words of Milton Friedman, how the business of business is business, and indeed I wasn't wrong. But in that same paper where he set out those arguments, he also included that quote. While the debate has moved on somewhat since Friedman wrote those words in 1970, the core arguments against corporate social responsibility have probably changed little, if at all. Opponents argue that spending money on so-called, or the corporate executives spending money on so-called social interests are investing the money of their customers, their employees and their shareholders on private goods. If it's bad enough for companies to spend their own money in this way, how much more would Friedman object to evangelicals like us insisting on it from someone else's stakeholders? But in the context of supply chain management, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today. Friedman and his supporters might argue that applying sustainability principles to supply chains is a costly, relationship-damaging exercise in private policing, with time and resources wasted trying to catch a supplier doing something wrong. Worse still, because that something is almost certainly not what the supplier is actually contracted to provide. But focusing on the costs and external benefits of sustainability really fails to recognise what it can do for a company and for its shareholders. So corporate responsibility and sustainability in our eyes, at Westpac at least, is really about effective risk management. And sustainable supply chain management is all about protecting the internal investment that your company has made in risk and reputation management. I was pleased to hear this morning, I think it was Armina that said that they had decided at Woolworths that sustainability was about doing the right thing. That's certainly been the definition that we at Westpac have applied over many years now. And it's probably as simple and as crisp a summary as I think you can come up with about sustainability. We've put a great deal of effort into improving our workforce conditions, community engagement, our internal governance, risk management, and our abilities to measure and improve our environmental impact. So in our minds, why do all this work and then employ a supplier who performs to a much lower and riskier standard? So when we engage a supplier to lower risk and create value on our behalf, we can't simply contract out our responsibilities. So allowing that supplier to practice in ways that we would not is a risk therefore to our own business. PAC, as you may know, is Australia's oldest bank and its first public company. 2007 was a record profit year for us, and despite the chaos in credit markets, we're well positioned in the current troubled times. Among many similar honours, for the past 8 years we've been recognised as a leader in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, and for five of those as the world's most sustainable bank. Our brand is and has been for some years now strongly linked with corporate responsibility and sustainability. For many years it differentiated us among our competitors, although the market has now changed, with sustainability in some form being a core strategy for most large corporations. Even so, today we think that our best practice sustainability strategies continue to define us. In 1992, by contrast, we had made the headlines for all the wrong reasons, with the largest Australian corporate loss up to that time, low staff morale, branch closures and poorly managed risk, leading to record low share prices and considerable negative press. A considered and well-implemented corporate responsibility and sustainability strategy that balanced the needs of all of our stakeholders, shareholders, employees, the community and the environment, has turned all this around for us. In 2002, we began extensive reporting on what we do and why. And in 2003, with the benefit of those strategies in managing risk and building brand now evident to us, we made our first statement about sustainability in the supply chain. That statement was, we believe that the actions of our suppliers are increasingly important factors in our sustainability performance, and our suppliers should be viewed as partners in our own sustainability journey. We've come quite a way since then. We released a detailed policy that sets out our expectations of suppliers in 2003 and embarked on our first supplier screening process in early 2004. Around 600 of our suppliers have now been subject to at least one sustainability assessment, constituting around about 90% of our indirect supply chain spend. Our sustainable supply chain management process focuses on the underlying infrastructure of the companies we engage to provide a diverse set of products and services. We screen those suppliers against well-established corporate responsibility standards, the existence of policies, management systems, validation and public reporting across the breadth of social, ethical and environmental issues that they all face. Our objective is for each of these suppliers to be aware of the material sustainability issues that are pertinent to their operations and to manage those issues effectively. How this is done will, of course, vary from company to company and sector to sector, and according to the maturity of each organisation and the issues that they face individually. But regardless of the company or the sector, a robust and relevant infrastructure will ensure effective mitigation of risk. Westpac's original screening tool, what we call the Sustainable Supply Chain Management Questionnaire, was a valuable assessment mechanism. But with 148 separate questions we expected our suppliers to answer, it was also very time consuming. For many of these suppliers, it was an unfamiliar and unwelcome experience, resulting in resistance and a drain on our resources, sometimes well in excess of the value of the supply chain contract itself. We had initially intended to remove from our supply chain those suppliers who could not match our own sustainability performance. In terms of protecting our internal investment in brand and reputation and risk, it appeared to make sense, but with hindsight it was actually quite naive. In practice, we found that many of our suppliers were performing far below our own standards, and without any alternatives in the marketplace, insisting on those standards and kicking out the suppliers could actually place our operations at risk. So we actually repositioned SSCM as an assessment and engagement process, but with mandatory participation. While there was no start point for absolute performance in order to do business with Westpac, there was and remains an expectation of performance improvement and risk reduction where needed. The market has changed and matured in recent years. The battles that were commonplace 4 years ago are much less so now. Our suppliers tell us that other corporate customers now have similar expectations in terms of sustainability as ours, and there is an era of acceptance of sustainable supply chain management. Consequently, in late 2006, we undertook a detailed review of our SSCM process and decided that a simpler but more prescriptive statement of our minimum supply chain practices was now appropriate. Although neither the Australian financial sector nor even service industries more broadly had ever taken this path, we decided that it was time to be more prescriptive and to raise the bar on our suppliers. To develop our sustainable supply chain code of conduct, we looked firstly at what already existed in the marketplace and noticed that much of it was principles-based rather than standard and rules-based. Beautifully worded sustainable purchasing policies can inspire, but too often they do not lend themselves easily to measurement, reporting and validation, which we know from experience are essential to achieving real change. We engaged our suppliers, our employees and the broader community to develop the code, and in the end we've settled on a document that clearly states our aspirations, the practices we seek in our supply chain and our minimum standards, those that we will not do without. Some of the latter are captured in Australian law, but perhaps not in the laws of other countries. Others are simply good business sense and responsible corporate citizenship. All of them are readily achievable in the contemporary marketplace and may offer improved risk management to companies and their customers. Our Sustainable Supply Chain Code of Conduct was released on the 1st of January this year, and it's universal, applying to all of our suppliers, measurable, to allow us to verify compliance, unambiguous, with supporting information and tools to facilitate its use independently, and transferable, allowing our suppliers to use it with their own suppliers, and so to generate change along the entire supply chain. The structure of the new code is similar to the questionnaire, which predated it, insofar as it focuses on the need for policy, management systems and the validation of performance. However, the scope of its requirements is far narrower, 22 statements, but absolute, remembering that there were 148 questions in the original questionnaire. Westpac will now only do business with companies who meet these minimum requirements or are working towards meeting every requirement by the first anniversary of the signature on the contract. The code and compliance with it is incorporated into all of our standard contracts, and every supplier must provide an annual certificate of compliance with all of the minimum requirements. So far, the implementation has gone very well. Our supply chain expectations are now more easily explained and monitored, and our smaller suppliers are engaged more effectively around a smaller but more relevant set of issues. High spend and high risk suppliers, which constitute around 75% of our spend, but only a small fraction of supply base by number, continue to complete the more detailed questionnaire, enabling greater engagement with those suppliers around the material sustainability issues in that supply chain. Battles do still rage from time to time, but we expect those to reduce as the process becomes more familiar and as our expectations and how to meet them are more fully understood. So far, we've been able to reach agreement with all of our suppliers, but the true test will come when those first annual certificates of compliance are due in January next year. 4 years of implementing sustainable supply chain management has provided us some valuable insights to the Australian marketplace. The way companies tackle the issues of corporate responsibility and sustainability, and how to facilitate compliance with those new expectations. Size is no barrier to sustainability in our view. Small companies can do it well and large ones badly, but small and medium suppliers often tend to lack the infrastructure to tackle it with confidence. So clearly stated expectations and common terminology are essential to ease the burden of multiple requests to respond to customer screening processes. And this can only really happen when corporates share their own stories. Even amongst our best resource suppliers, there are those that are struggling to come to grips with sustainability because of a culture of non-disclosure, defensiveness and a rigid adherence to financial business drivers. We believe that external pressure from valued customers like us will help them break down these barriers. When all of the companies in a given industry express the same message to suppliers about the need to improve their business practices, compliance becomes a less onerous expectation. Yet even when we've been the only corporate client expressing this view, many of our suppliers have told us that our sustainability expectations played a valuable role in creating value-adding organisational change for them. Denial of the relevance of corporate sustainability, anger at the imposition of new expectations, and eventual acceptance of the need to address new market requirements have been demonstrated time and again. And in that regard, the cost of gaining and maintaining supplier compliance with corporate responsibility and sustainability requirements is the greatest challenge to us in implementing sustainable supply chain management. It's clear that we need to sometimes support our suppliers to get the results that we want, and empowerment and capacity building are important tasks in which both customer and supplier play a part. Westpac's done this by providing standalone self-help tools, online reference materials, templates, case studies and sharing what we do and why in forums like this one. Highlighting best practice in our own supply chain, we believe, is a powerful way to demonstrate that no matter what your size, the industry you represent, the journey to sustainability is achievable. For this reason, we're today launching a booklet of stories from our supply chain, copies of which will be on your table, a set of case studies that capture the very different experiences of some of our suppliers. Embracing the corporate journey into sustainability, stories from Westpac's supply chain demonstrates how our actions can trigger our suppliers' first steps into systematically identifying and managing the social, ethical and environmental aspects of doing business. Bluefin Resources, the customer experience company, Fiserv, Gaia, Henry Davis York Lawyers, Proton Projects, Hudson's, Banara and NCR are all very different companies. But when we ask them each what triggered or informed their own journey into sustainability, they shared a common view of the power of their customers to assist their process. For some, Westpac's SSCM screening process triggered new sustainability discussions that eventually led to change. For others, it broadened the sense of possibilities and provided the impetus to implement new initiatives. For one, it merely affirmed the decision to embrace the sustainability that they had taken some time previously. We're a bank. Managing risk is what we do. It matters little to us whether that risk is in credit markets, retail and institutional lending, or in our own supply chain itself. We believe that corporate responsibility and sustainability, which is now deeply embedded in our company's DNA, has helped us to manage these risks. So perhaps in these terms, even Milton Friedman could agree that a critical part of the business of business really is sustainability. Thank you, and I'm happy to take some questions.